Welcome back in hour number two, Slay Ride 2.0. Nick Hale and Ron Slay with you here on a Wednesday, 104.5 The Zone. Really big show today. Buck Fitzgerald, Braden Gall in hour one. Press conference coming up at the bottom of the hour as we will hear from Danny White, Josh Heupel, as you have your new head coach in Knoxville, Tennessee. And now we welcome in a man who, in his final season on Rocky Top, I don't know, he just ran for 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. No big deal. Travis Stevens joins us here on 104.5 The Zone with Nick and Ron. Travis, we appreciate a couple of minutes. How you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, Nick and Ron? I'm doing all right.
Man, good to have you in here, T. Man, as a guy that got to see what success looks like on Rocky Top, you know, and then being able to go in the NFL and see what success looks like, where do you think Tennessee lies with this hire of Josh Heupel? How do you feel as being an alum and being there on that national championship, seeing what national championship DNA looks like from the coordinators to from the AD all the way down to the Chicken Hawk, our guy in the locker room? Where do you see this thing going right now with Heupel being hired?
Well, Heupel, she likes it. I don't know much about it, but you know, we had the last under 15 years or so, we had Lord. Almost five different coaches or whatever. So
yes, sir.
Man, I know Tennessee football. We just want somebody to come in and win. You know, of course, it starts from the the top. You know, the top down. You know, saying with the head coach. So you know, and in the past, you know, nobody's past success has been good at Tennessee. So man, we just wish the best that he come in and turn the program around. You know, quick, because it's just been rough, man. It's been really rough for the last 15 years or so. So hopefully he can come and do the job.
Travis, if you had the ability to sit down right now on a Zoom meeting with Josh Heupel, what would you tell him about Knoxville? How would you tell him to go about handling the rabid fan base, the expectations? Like, if you could coach up and advise and counsel Josh Heupel and he had 10 minutes on Zoom with him, what would you tell him?
I would tell him, you coming out, Tennessee is a place where, everybody loves football. You know what I'm saying? From the fans, players, coaches, parents, everybody. So, but basically, he got to be himself, You got to be yourself and do what works for you. You know, don't do anything different, So, just be confident. So, but just understand that, a lot of people love, football, Tennessee football. So, all you can do is tell somebody to be themselves and, going in with all, with your heart, So, can't be, you're going to be nervous, but, still just understand that, this is a football state, So, and we love football. And of course, I'm sure he loves football too. So, but all you can do is tell somebody to be themselves.
Getting back to it, T, you had a very successful run with the University of Tennessee. And you got to be in a crowded backfield with Jamal Lewis, Travis Henry, Sean Bryson. Talk about that what was in that DNA to have you guys winning. So hopefully if there are listeners, you can give hope to people what they can expect with, you got guys like Eric Gray who transferred, running backs who left. But if he can bring it all together, man, what was it like being in that locker room getting ready for games? In your time there with that running back duo, what trio that you guys had?
Yeah, the special thing about us, man, we were, we helped each other out. We all had our own talent and, we didn't have no ego. There was no egos going around. You know what I'm saying? It was like we really pushed each other. We really, we kind of, secretly kind of, just like, it was a competition, of course, Of course, every one man wanted to come on the ball. Every one man wanted to be the man, but of course you had to, each individual had to wait their turn and be humble in that sense.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So.
And with that success, you came and you was a single season record holder as far as rushing yards. With that, could you see it getting back to that point? If you had to get out, like you said, if you were mentoring Josh Heupel, you had 10 minutes on Zoom. Say you had 10 minutes on the Zoom call with all the fans. Now, I know our Saturdays haven't gone the way way they're supposed to go, man. You know, we come in with high hopes on that Saturday. We kind of let down by the end of the game, don't want to watch no more football. But if you had to get the fans back involved, and I know you do a lot of speaking engagements and things like that, how do you keep people on board, you know, bringing in a new coach and a new AD? How do you give those people hope, man?
Yeah, it can be tough, you know what I'm saying, especially with the situation given, you know, where we're at, you know. But
right.
You have to maintain, you know, positivity, you know what I'm saying? Negativity always, it carries, you know, bad taste and feel. So, you know, you're never going to go into a situation, you know, giving anybody just negative advice or just have a negative vibe. You like, nobody likes to be be around anybody negative or just getting that energy, because it's hard to, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, anybody to focus. So, you know, just with him, man, of course, you got to keep it positive. You know what I'm saying? You got to do what you got to learn from your mistakes and tell people, you know, give them a little history about, you know, what didn't work here and what did work. So you just, you know, you do anything to advise them that, you know, it's going to help, you know, help the situation. So that's, you know, that's in any situation you're going through.
Travis Stevens is with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Travis, final one for me. You know, college football has really changed and evolved over the last 20 years. When you were there, it was run the ball, play action, field position, defense. Winning a game against Florida 20-17 was the way to go about business. Nowadays, it's the air raid, it's up-tempo, it's read option, it's video game football, for lack of a better phrase. It feels like if this works in Knoxville, this guy will be beloved. But if it doesn't and Josh Heupel fails, it'll be because, see, I told you that goofy G5 offense isn't going to work. Take us into the mindset of, because you're a former running back. I mean, I don't know that a Vol running back is going to go for 1,400 in this offense.
No, it ain't. It ain't. And that's the thing about right now. The game has changed as far as that goes for a running back. You know, so it is a pass-driven league now, you know. And of course, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not a big fan of just a pass-driven league. You know, of course, we want the ball as much as we could. You know, back in the day, it was me, Travis, and Jamal. We were getting the ball almost, you know, 30 times a game. So, unless it's just, you know, throwing the ball to you, just, you know, in the system, recently they haven't been going to the backs as much. I know Kamara had a good, you know, run. But other than that, it's just kind of hard for us to, you know, to work in that system. But, you know, with him, if it, like I said, if it works, it comes, it works. You know, he'll get all the praises. But of course, just like you said, if it doesn't, it's just gonna you know, be the same thing that, you know, that's been happening. So, but we just, you know, of course, we hope he comes in and do his job and to the best of his ability, and hopefully he'll have success, you know, with the way he goes about it.
Travis, great stuff, man. We really appreciate a couple of minutes here on a Wednesday. Thanks for popping on.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate that, Trav, man.
You got it. Travis Stevens, former Tennessee running back, senior year 2001. He ran for 1,400 plus yards and 10 touchdowns. I would say this as well. Ron, when you see some people on Twitter that are just kind of against the hire or have serious doubts, I want to just throw this little tidbit out. And this might irk Vols fans, and Vols fans might disagree, but I think there's some validity to it. Over the last 3 years with Josh Heupel at UCF, mm-hmm. if they would have played Tennessee in 2018, 19, and 20, Heupel against Pruitt, I feel strongly there's a good chance UCF wins at least one of those three, maybe two.
You know what? And I was just about to say that. I'm thinking they go two out of three, honestly, especially if we got to go on the road. You know, it's no telling what could happen. But looking at it, man, I think everybody is on defense about getting it back to the promised land. I think people are not so frustrated with the hire, but getting it back. How quick can we get it back? And my thing is about the hire, the people that are upset about it, who did you want to go get? And do you think a guy in the AD's position would not go knock on the doors to try to get big name coaches to make a splash, even though he knows who Heupel is, you know, and he knows his track record.
It's one thing to sit here and say, here's who I want.
Right.
But the other part of the equation is, can I get him?
Who wants to be with you?
Yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, if I'm running a business, yeah, of course I want the number one guy in his field. Right. But that guy has to want to take the job if I offer it to
Exactly, him. Exactly. And I think Buck alluded to it when he was on earlier. You know, like the culture is for lack of better words, in shambles. You know what I'm saying? Like, it, the culture is not there. Then you got trying to bring a new coach in that can make a splash. We had the splash. We got rid of the splash. Then you bring a guy in that's under the Nick Saban tree. You think that's it. He doesn't get it done. Now, all of a sudden, now let's just start checking the boxes. We want a head coach, guy with head coach experience. We want a guy with a track record to win. We want to trust AD. Hey, man, we're checking the boxes, and all the boxes are checked with Heupel. I'm going to be honest. So, man, sit back, man. Sit back, people, relax. But, I mean, to each his own, man. But as a form of all, I'm okay with it. Now, you can say what you want to say, but make sure you're the same person that's saying the same thing once we start winning. And I'm going to stand on that.
Let's get your phone calls when we come back. 615-737-1045, the number. 737-1045. We'll take calls from right around 20 after until 11:30. So about a 10-minute window for you guys to jump in when we come back. 737-1045. And I'll throw out a scenario in year one, 2021, for Heupel and the Vols. And we'll see if you guys would sign up for that. We'll do that next. Nick and Ron, 1045 The Zone. Welcome back in 11:21 here on a Wednesday. Sleigh Ride 2.0, Nick Hale, Ron Sleigh on the 104.5 The Zone. Great to have you guys in. We're with you till 12 o'clock today. Blaine and Mickey coming up at the top of the hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, under 10 minutes from now, you will hear the introductory press conference of Josh Heupel and Danny White as the Vols have their new head coach. Danny White hired Josh Heupel at UCF in 2017. And 4 years later, here we go again. And they are bringing the band to Knoxville. You know, it's funny, Ron, we're going to go from the fake national champions of 2017 merging with the life champions in Knoxville. If anything, this should be at least a relatively entertaining ride.
This should be a beautiful matrimony. I think it was made. You got people that can't see losing, and all we see is winning regardless of our record and what we should be. To a team and a program that thought they should be national champions also. So it should go hand in hand, man. But like I was telling you off the air, man, what's amazing is how many former Vols are not in sync with what's really going on Rocky Top. You know, I think a lot of them checked out 3 or 4 years ago, you know, even before Pruitt came in. I think they were just done with it. And so I'm interested to see how Heupel, if he can repair that bridge and make that the alumni feel more welcome. We heard about Hayden talking about it earlier with J. Martin Ramon. And I think everybody shares those same sentiments. Everybody wants to be wanted, not just the Peyton Mannings and the big name guys, you know. So hopefully everybody can be welcomed back and repair that relationship. I think that's a huge part. You know, looking at what Coach Barnes has done with the basketball program, he welcomes guys back with open arms, you know, for practices, everything. Speaking with the team, doesn't have the guys cut off to where they don't talk to the players. You know, you come in there and celebrate after a Kentucky win, and you're welcome in the locker room to get on your knee and say the prayer with the team. That's different, you know, and hopefully we can get that back with the football program.
615-737-1045. We have about 5 or 6 minutes if you guys want to jump in with your reaction and phone calls before we get to the press conference. And you made a good point. I mean, look, there's a lot of former players from the glory days of Fulmer that, to your point, you're right. They do check out at some point, because when all you know is winning, all you've ever done is win, you can't stand being around losers. Mm-hmm. And when you go through 14 years of losing, at some point, for a lot of people, especially not just a rabid fan, but, you know, a player that went on, had great success at Tennessee, went to the pros, now doing something else professionally. You know, at some point you're just so wrapped up in your own life that if Tennessee's going to keep being 5-7, you're like, all right, well, let me know when we decide to return to glory.
Exactly. And the ones that are out there, those fans and those former players, they bleed it. The ones that really care about Tennessee, regardless of the highs and lows, man, when the season is about to start off, we're national champions. You know what I mean? In any pro franchise or any center recreational league, whatever it may be, those guys that play for the University of Tennessee, whether it be volleyball, soccer, football, baseball, whatever it may be, they support it and they show it. So you definitely want to see a product out there on the field that you can be happy for, because one thing about it, the people remember, and they all bash you. I get so many calls, man, when we lose. And so, hey, man, it got to get back to where it's supposed to be, man. It got to. It has to.
And look, we're not going to have too long to go until we find out, you know, what he can do in year one, because the beautiful thing about the SEC is today they are releasing the football schedule for 2021. So later on tonight, I might have a few bourbons in me and I might start tweeting out the Tennessee schedule. Give them a win here. Give them a loss there. Yeah. That's a loss. That's a win. You know, we're already going to say, okay, here we go. 5-5, 6-5, whatever it might be. But let me give you I want to throw out a scenario to you,
okay,
as well as Vols fans. If I told you year one of Josh Heupel will be this, you tell me if you would sign up for this. 4-5. Now, this is based off of a team from last year. So the schedule, the number of games, a little different because of the pandemic.
Right.
4-5 in the regular season, gets to a bowl game, wins the bowl game, finishes 5-5. Gives Alabama a run for their money, loses 63-48. Gives Florida a run for their money, loses 51-35. And has a shootout with LSU, loses 53-48. They score 38 points per game, and they gave all the big boys a great run for three quarters. Would you sign up for that?
Me.
For year definitely. One. For year one.
I am. And the reason being, that's an increase in the points per game. We just upped it to 17. Who all we lost in the transfer portal? We lost the number one guy and the number two guy in that class of 2019. So those guys transferring out, we lost a running back who was so stable, who reminds you of Alvin Kamara. Like, what do you really have to lean on? You're losing guys to the draft is in the Trey Smith. So if he can come out here and go 500, you know, and get it done, hopefully he has a great preseason, you know, spring training, all of that. I'm on board for it, man. If you can get out there and fight, and I think that's part of it. What drew us to Pruitt was guys getting out there and competing. Mm-hmm. I think that was a change of pace for us. If he can keep that up, competing and then be in the fight for the game, well, I think we got something to hype on. I think
that season recap I just gave you was what Lane Kiffin did year one this year at Ole Miss. Mm. So if Josh Heupel, again, similar background, offensive guy, younger guy, spreading it around, lighting up the scoreboard. If you can get that in year one, especially with sanctions looming,
right?
I think that would be a phenomenal season for Josh Heupel.
And I think it jumps on the radar for kids being in the recruiting process. It's not a dull offense where they're not getting the ball out and not. You don't want to see it in the fourth quarter when you're down 21 and then you all of a sudden air it out. You know, that doesn't attract you. But you see it from the get-go when guys lose just because of the war of attrition. They just got better guys, and you know, at that point, give them his time. Give them his time, and I'm thinking we're going to see something nice out of it.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see, and we'll get to the press conference coming up in just a matter of moments here on 104.5 The Zone. Josh Heupel, your new head coach, Nikhail Ronsley, 104.5 The Zone. You know, who he hires defensively, how the recruiting goes. I think at the end of the day, you know, if this guy can find one of those sage defensive coordinators, you know, the guys that have been around this league for a long time, you know, you look at a guy like John Chavis, who's been a coordinator at multiple stops in this conference, Tennessee, LSU.
Chief.
Yeah, you got to find somebody that can really hone in on that side of the ball. And not that Josh Heupel should dismiss defense and not get involved with it.
Right.
But I want this guy to be focused on recruiting and doing everything he can to make this offense hum, because we heard from multiple people, it's a one-read offense. It's very quarterback-friendly. And, yeah, that works in the G5s and that works in the Big 12. But at this conference, it really gets put to the test.
Yeah, it's hats on hats over here in this conference. You know, you got to be able to take one and give one. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, and hopefully we can get back to that with those – with those coordinators being intact and those position coaches being intact. You go date back to the Coach Brooks of my era, and you see the Cutcliffs of my era. Hopefully we can go find us, because those guys are out there. Now, if you can pull them away from a situation, that's different. But They are out there. You got to knock on the door. You got to be able to sell something. You got to be a manager of men and a manager of players. So it's going to be interesting to see if Hype can get that done.
And also the thing that we got to realize too, that this is not just a Tennessee thing with the offensive guy as a head coach. This is what the SEC is now doing. We see Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Nick Saban's evolution from what he was 13 years ago. And then he brings in Lane Kiffin to Sarkisian. And then, you know, in the NFL, we're seeing the Sean McVays of the world, the Kyle Shanahans, the Matt LaFleurs, the new direction of football, Saturday or Sunday. Get a guy in his 30s or 40s, former quarterback coach, former OC, because the game is legislated where you almost can't play defense anymore. You're not allowed to hit a guy here. You can't hit him there. I mean, I wouldn't want to play defense if I'm a kid growing up anymore.
No doubt about it. You know, you look back at old tapes and what was known to be then as just great hard hits or game or hits that's going to get you thrown out of the game. So who necessarily wants to put themselves in that situation to be coaching that? So I think it's going to be a big step if Heupel can get those guys in there that can recruit. And it's not necessarily just the coordinators or the main recruiter. Like, you get a guy like Henry Toto who comes in, and he comes in because of, honestly, Kevin Simon. You know what I'm saying? So it's relationships. How many of those relationships are built? How many can you stand on? How many are in good standing still after all of these sanctions and everything are lifted? So that's going to be an important part to be able to build those relationships and build that bridge to kids and have them looking at it. Like Buck Fitzgerald said earlier, they don't remember the Al Wilsons. They don't remember the Ray Knox, the John Hens. Shoot, they don't remember me. If I didn't have a loud mouth, I don't know if basketball people will remember me. But one thing for sure, man, that's something you got to stand on, and hopefully those relationships will be intact.
And to be honest, I'm not sure that these kids actually care about that. Not only do they not know about the tradition, they don't care. I mentioned this yesterday when I was on with D-Mace. I said, if I'm a Vol recruit or any young kid going to a major historical program, I care about three things. Can I play right away?
Right.
Am I going to compete for a conference and national championship? Mm-hmm. And can you get me to the NFL?
Right.
That's
it. Those things are key for kids coming in. And you got to, honestly, the way social media is now, they are a bigger catch than the university is itself. Like, they feel like coming into it, I bring you more stature and acclaim than you do right now. You haven't won anything. You know, I'm on there with 200,000 followers. Like, I'm adding to your program. It's not you adding to me and getting me to that level. It's me getting you there. So that's a different world that we live in, and we got to evolve to it, you know. But the ones that are successful are the ones. You look at the guys like Saban, you look at the guys like Urban Meyer, you get guys that buy into the program and buy into what you're preaching and believe. And it no longer is about you when you come into that program. It is about the program. And we got to get it back to where it's about the Tennessee program and not the person coming in.
I just mentioned, you know, guys like John Chavis, that wise veteran DC. Mm-hmm. And I just totally forgot. I mean, they hired Kevin Steele a few weeks ago onto the staff. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do, what his relationship will be, if he'll be involved moving forward on the staff. Hopefully that's one of the questions we get answered right away, because that's a guy who has been one of the better defensive coordinators, you know, for a long time in this region of the country. And he could certainly be a good kind of a good guide or a facilitator to help Josh Heupel get acclimated.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, what did they sell Coach Steele on, you know, coming in as the interim acting head coach at the time before the hire? Was he sold on, hey, man, we're going to give you an opportunity? Does he feel shunned about that with a hire being made? Or did he understand, you know, we're going to have you acting, you're going to be the face for right now until we get a coach, and then gracefully move over so this man can come in and support him in which way you can? You know, so with that hire being made, it's going to be interesting to see, because we got the piggy bank. We got the piggy bank, and it's time to crack that thing open. Let's go get some guys.
Nick Hale, Ron Slay, 104.5 The Zone. Momentarily, we will get to the introductory press conference of Josh Heupel, who is 28-8 in three seasons as the head coach at UCF. And a lot of detractors are going to point out that the numbers declined from year one to year three. He was 12-1 in 2018, 10-3 in 2019, 6-4 last year. A record of 28-8 in three seasons, which is still a better win percentage than Scott Frost, than George O'Leary. Offensively, 16th in the country out of 127 teams last year in yards per play, 7th the year before, 6th the year before that. And he's had good quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel, Mackenzie Milton, who went through that real brutal leg injury a few years ago. And this is a guy who was the Heisman runner-up at Oklahoma in 2000. I mean, he beat out guys like LaDainian Tomlinson. Mm-hmm. And he's got a little bit of a background in the SEC. He was at Missouri in 2016 and 2017, and he worked with a guy who's now the franchise quarterback in Denver, and Drew Lock.
Yeah, he is. And those being able to call on people like that to get information, to get what you see, which direction we should be headed into, gives you some perspective of where you should head and where you should go, what you should be leaning on, what your expectation is. Now, you got to understand, these expectations coming into it, I just got a message. It's not for the Alabama fan. This is not for the Georgia fan. This is for a Tennessee that is struggling to get up off the mat and get up and fight. We're trying to get to the corner, see our cut man, and get Vaseline'd up so we can get back out there and fight. We've been knocked out, people. You know what I mean? We're trying to beat this standing eight count and get up on our feet. So if that can happen, man, that's the way we want to go. And Heupel, you got to give the hope for the people. I believe in you. I think a lot of Vol Nation does. All the negativity, overlook that. It's going to be there regardless you win or lose. If you go 10-1, they're going to be hot about you losing that one game. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, you do what you do. You stand on it and stand beside it. And then don't sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. If I'm giving my speech to them, you be straight up and down with them. You know, I think we got to see the mask of Butch Jones, you know, and him masking a lot of things and band-aiding things. We don't want that. I think Tennessee guys and Tennessee fans are people who want the real, want it, and want to be acknowledged that they care about the game, care about developing guys. You do that, I think we're okay, win or lose.
And how great would this be? You know, year one, because there's going to be somebody in the coming days, weeks, and months as we get closer to the season. And there's going to be a guy that says, I need to see a signature win in year one. I need that huge upset on the schedule. And in all likelihood, it won't be Alabama. You know, probably won't be Georgia. But, God, it would be beautiful. As a guy who, like, I don't have anything against Dan Mullen, personally. I just can't stand him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it would be just so glorious to see Josh Heupel knock off that smug, you know what, Dan Mullen in year one. God, hey, I would love it.
It's no better feeling, not only to beat him, but beat a Florida Gator in anything. I don't care what it is, bowling, recreational, tennis, ping pong, anything it may be, man. You gotta have that win, though. And I don't wanna throw it out there to where we're expecting him to come in and, you know, just dominate from the get go. But it would be nice. It would be nice if sanctions are not too much for us, you know, and we're able to get some of these recruits back. It would be nice to get a signature win. I think that'll be some well he could hang his hat on and hit the recruiting trail on and really get in out there and close out deals, if you will.
Yeah, and if you're going to pull off an upset in year one, I mean, you're not going to do it with defense. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do it in the trenches and push around a Georgia or a Florida. Right. But, you know, one of those goofy days on a Saturday, I don't know, maybe it's a torrential downpour, it's raining, and, mm-hmm. you know, whoever you're, like, the Floridas of the world, they right. have four turnovers on a given Saturday, and they shoot themselves in the foot a couple of times, and they just don't bring their A game, and all of a sudden Tennessee's there, and, yeah, we can't stop anybody, and we've got a handful of penalties and some clock management issues, but we're scoring points.
Right.
And up and down the field we go. And all of a sudden, you look 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Florida leads Tennessee 48-45, and you're like, holy hell, we got a shot here.
Exactly. We're jockeying right now for position at the bottom with Tennessee, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. Let's not be those guys. You know what I'm saying? Let's get over that hump. Let's beat the Mississippi States. Let's beat the Kentuckys, the South Carolinas, and then get up there in the middle of the pack, and then anything can happen. You know, like you said, weather permits, hey, you capitalize on what's given to you, mm-hmm. and you make the most out of it. So that, I think, is where we'll be standing. When you look at the Alabamas, you look at the Georgias, and you expect Ole Miss to be better after making a splash this year. It's going to be interesting, man. You don't expect LSU to be down again. So, you know, you want to get up there in the upper echelon of the conference, but you don't start right there at the top. You got to get back up into it. You got to climb back into the fight. So that's what we will see.
Yeah, and I think right now, probably where they're going to start, at least the way I look at the East, is probably no better than fifth preseason, right? Because Georgia will be one, Florida will be two, and then you're going to have some combination of Kentucky and Missouri. I would say Tennessee probably five, ahead of South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
Right.
And the question will be, in year one, can you beat Kentucky? Because Stoops has a pretty good thing going in Lexington, even though he can't really find a quarterback, which I still don't understand. And they play ugly, god-awful, unwatchable football.
Right.
You know, Eli Drinkwitz's year one at Missouri was pretty good. Connor Bazelak is a solid quarterback. So I would say probably preseason Tennessee is fifth if they're lucky. But hopefully you try to knock off one of those Kentuckys or Missouris. That should be – I don't want to say it's a lock because it's not. They're in better positions than Tennessee are right now.
Right.
But like, that should be a very attainable goal year one.
I think so. And the funny thing is, Nick, did we ever think that we would lower the standards right here to where we are today, saying, man, we got to make sure we beat a Kentucky. We got to make sure
we
beat
a Vanderbilt. That's the reality of where we
That's where we are, people. That's where we are. And there's only one way to get out of that. It's win. Just put a product out there. You got to make them believe, and you got to make the players believe. I think some of the players lost a lot of faith. You know, I felt like it was a locker room divided with Coach Pruitt, from the coaching staff all the way down to the players. And I don't think people hop off the ship knowing that they believe in what the university has. You know, I've been a guy, when I left, when Coach Jerry Green got fired in basketball and Coach Buzz Peterson walked in, we still had talent. We had a lottery pick in Marcus Hayslip. We had a draft, an NBA draft in Vincent Yarbrough. Then you had myself, John Higgins, CJ Watson getting ready to come in. So you had the foundation laid. Do you believe in that foundation, the guys that are around you, regardless of the person that comes in? That remains to be seen. I did at the time. Now we get to see, do those guys still who are not like a Wanye, who's not registered at any other school and going to school, does he believe in what the Tennessee foundation is and come back to school and fight for a new coach? Or does he boat ship and we got to get somebody else in there new? That's what you ought to be able to stand on. So that's what we'll see. I think we'll get a lot. I think we'll get a lot. Even though he doesn't wow people in his press conference, I think we'll get a lot. And he'll either settle it or he'll get you off the fence in this press conference, I believe.
Yeah, and here's the thing too. I'm not interested in winning a press conference.
Right.
So, I don't care if Josh Heupel comes in and is rattling off cliches and he's on one end of the spectrum and it's, oh my God, I feel like this is Butch Jones. And I don't care if he's stuttering and stammering and sounds like he's lifeless and lethargic and doesn't even want to be here on the other end of the spectrum. Right. I will take nothing away from today with what he says or what Danny White says, because we're so past words. We're so past, you know, winning pressers and creating buzz and all this other nonsense. It is simply about winning football games and making money along the way.
That is facts. And I'll take a quote. I had a time they were talking about on the J. Martin Ramon show yesterday about Ed Martin, guy's named Ed. And I brought up a guy, the coach Ed Martin, who coached at Tennessee State University, a great coach, basketball coach. I was talking with him one time after he was retired, and I was telling him about a guy me and my uncle were, and he was like, describe the guy to me. And a lot of it led back to, man, you know what, man? He can play. He tries really hard. He's a good guy. And he stopped me right there. He said, you know what? If I was looking for a good guy, then I'll be putting him in a good guy contest. I'm not looking for a good guy contest. You can't be that guy. So like you said, we're not looking to win press conferences. We're looking to get out there and win games. That's what it lies on. And that's what a product that you have to have. It's going to take some different type of people, some different type of pride to get in there and do it and rebuild that. So, That's the point where we are right now.
You look at the conference as a whole right now with the coaching. It is just so incredibly juicy. Let's just say Heupel comes in here, and in the first two or three weeks of the season, we're seeing 41 points, 44 points, 37 points. Right. You're going to have a conference now with Dan Mullen, Kirby Smart, Eli Drinkwitz, Mark Stoops, Josh Heupel, Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Brian Harsin at Auburn, now coming over from Boise, LSU with Ed Orgeron. Lane Kiffin, Sam Pittman, Mike Leach. I mean, there's a cast of characters in this conference. Yes, this is pretty entertaining.
Yes, it is. You got the pirate alone, Mike Leach, who's entertaining. And once they figure him out, we see where that led to. But it's still something you want to turn on your tube and watch. And you still have hope as being a fan of that program with him being at the helm that it's an opportunity to win a game with his air raid offense. So I'm like you, man. It speaks volumes. I think we had a turnover in coaching and basketball in the SEC, and it is as juicy as the guys you just named on the football front. So it's going hand in hand, man, and it's evolving as a conference, and we got to get up to times with it. It's no need in dating back and trying to be who we were in the past. It's about setting the new goals now and reaching those goals, and it starts from getting yourself up off the campus and grinding it out.
Stephen Godfrey is one of the best college football reporters out there, and he always has some good stuff and also can, you know, throw out a snarky opinion or two, which I really appreciate. And Stephen tweeted this out this morning. He says, SEC fans to G5 programs, you don't belong in the playoff because it's not real big boy football. SEC administration to G5 coaches, please, God, come fix our program because of our big, stupid fans. So it is an interesting dynamic that, and I don't think administration looks at it this way, ADs, coaches, but, you know, the SEC looks down at the G5, but here we are, and now you're hiring G5 guys. Oh, by the way, Auburn hired Brian Harsin from Boise State, right, which has clearly become a very good football program, but, you know, 20 years ago, let's not kid ourselves, Boise State was nowhere to be found.
No, we wouldn't be going to that orchard and picking from that tree. That's a fact. But we are there now. And I think it's all because of the game has evolved. Those guys have always been high-powered as far as trying to put more points up. And SEC has been more about defense and stopping over the past years. But now with it evolving, you have to put a product on the field that's going to get the guys, the recruits to come in that's fun. You know, like Travis Stevens was just saying, they get 30 carries a game at the running back spot with a trio of guys that can take a yard at any time. That's not what you see now. Who really wants to be a part of that? What receiver do you think is going to get out there and just stand out there and start blocking? You know, we for a second, we went through the wide receiver part of our era, and that was along with having running backs. But the reason we were able to do that is because we had a stable and we had a line that could get out there and push people around. And that's where it was run, in the trenches. So now that we're getting that back, you got the Mays brothers right there. You got Wanye, hopefully, if he comes back. You got guys that you can stand on and hopefully control the trenches. And then that way, when you got to hand it off 15 times a game and hit a back out of the backfield 15 times, that excites guys, you know, getting guys in space where you can do the 7-on-7-like drills, which is an AAU form of football to me. But you get out there and you get to show and you get to highlight those things. That's attractive to the guys trying to come in and play. And I think I'm pretty sure Hyper can do that in the offense. Now, defense remains to be seen. Still, will he get it done? We'll see. But he has to have guys around him also. So there we go.
All right, we're standing by waiting for the Vols presser. It was supposed to be at 11. Then they moved it to 11:30. Now it's 11:48. It looks like by the time we get to it, our show will have come to a close. I don't know. Maybe Tennessee hired a search firm on how to handle a presser. I don't know what they're waiting on.
Maybe it is. They don't want us to get the first word in after the presser, Nick. That's all that is, man. They know the sleigh ride to come through with Nick right there with us, man, rolling through. And they don't want us to get the first word in. They want to give it to Blaine and those guys.
Let me ask you this, because when we had Buck on in the first hour, Buck Fitzgerald, you know, he said, you know, 2 years, you probably will be able to figure it out. I don't even want to say I need to see 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to wait, and I'll know when it's either the right move or the wrong move. Because if you apply numbers like 2 years, well, we would have said after a year two, Jeremy Pruitt was probably the guy for the job, because he finished the season on a 6-game winning streak that carried over to this year. They were on an 8-game win streak. And then he blew all the equity he built up with an epic losing streak, you know, of biblical proportions. So I don't want to put a number on it, just because all of a sudden you think you have it figured out and then it clicks.
Right.
You think he's humming and then he falls into the gutter.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think with the revolving door, how it is, man, things can change so fast in the game. You know, like he went on it. You said he went on that 6-game winning streak, and then all of a sudden the bottom fell out of it. Now you can look at it, and it goes from having something off the Alabama tree, something stable, and now we're in the coaching carousel. Now with a guy hired, you know, we got new AD, new coach. How many people can you go pull out of that transfer portal? You know, even if it's not our guys that we had that were leaving. What about it? There are other unhappy guys at other universities also. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one thing about it with this. How long does this last? You know, so I'm interested to see what the staff can do, and how they can reach back out and get everybody back on board and give hope, man. You got to be able to trust in it. That's the main thing. Like, not like you said, not putting years on it, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, put the trust in it, and knowing that there are going to be some down years. There are going to be some bad games. There are going to be some really bad games, but there could be some good games. There could be some wins you can hang your hat on. That right there, I think, is how you move forward and use those as stepping stones.
You know, points per game certainly are the biggest metric to evaluate how good an offense is. Mm-hmm. Then you can look at, you know, things like yards per play. But there's also pace of play, right, which is very good. And when you look at this number, look at UCF. They get a snap off very quickly based on how quickly into the play clock are they hiking the ball. And they play at warp speed. Now, it's a double-edged sword, because if you go three and out in a matter of, 42 seconds, and your defense is sucking wind, and they just got gashed for a 14-play drive, well, then you put the defense back out there quickly, and all of a sudden they get exposed.
Right.
There's one thing as a Vols fan you'll be able to revel in: how quickly Heupel is calling plays and getting snaps off, because this is going to drive Nick Saban nuts.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to drive Kirby Smart nuts. Defensive guys who, yeah, they've installed some of that offense because they realize it works, but it's also one of those things where, like, guys like Nick Saban, they were fighting against it 6 years ago, saying it's unsafe for college football because, guys, you're going to get hurt.
Right. You're totally right. And I also like to say, like, if Harrison Bailey was as touted as he was, imagine how happy he is right now. He's probably in this room doing jumping jacks and cartwheels and all kind of things. So it should be exciting, man. Like, this offense should be what we wanted it to be with Chaney. That's what we were expecting.
It's going to be so much better than Chaney.
Yeah, like, so much better. Like, imagine how many games we went in going into thinking, like, man, we got the great OC. Like, is he going to get it done? But then you look at the plays and it's dormant play calling. Like, why isn't he opening it up? Who will you put your trust into? I think that'll be something also. The players, when you come on campus, you get the guys on campus as far as recruits. Well, guess what? One thing for sure, man, this is Ron Slay, and I stand beside Heupel. We'll see you after this press conference where it lies. Nick, what you got up on that?
All right, guys, here we go. Let's send it off to the introductory press conference. Josh Heupel, Danny White, Ron Slay, I'm Nick Kale. Enjoy the rest of your day. Here we go, press conference. Blaine and Mickey to follow.
We ask that you please silence your mobile devices. For those joining us virtually, we ask that you please keep your devices muted until you are called on. For those in the room asking questions, we ask that you please do not grab the mic. We'll have someone provide the mic for you. Lastly, please share your name and affiliation prior to asking your question. It is now my pleasure to introduce the Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics at Tennessee, Danny White.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you guys being here today. I think I've been on the job for 5 days, something like that. Been a whirlwind, but proud to be at Tennessee, and really excited about today. Want to welcome Josh, and you'll meet his wonderful family, Dawn, Hannah, and Jace, who we've rocked their world. They're in the same boat now as my family, and family in transition, but really excited about having you all here as part of the Tennessee family and everything that we're excited about building here moving forward. I want to thank President Randy Boyd and Chancellor Donnie Plowman for their support throughout this search and for the last week, and couldn't be more excited about the opportunity for me personally to be here in the future of what we have going for Tennessee athletics and across this entire institution. Our football student athletes were phenomenal. They were really, really great. We have a special group. I want to thank the leadership committee I met with this past weekend. The insight they gave me on what's happening in our football program was absolutely instrumental in helping me identify the right leader that we have here in Josh Heupel of our football program moving forward. Had a great meeting with the team this morning, and I can tell you they're excited. They're ready to get to work, and they're really excited. We had an exhaustive nationwide search. I know that sounds crazy because I'm hiring the guy that I've worked with for the last 3 years. But if anything, I was trying not to hire the head coach from UCF. And I say that with respect to Tennessee, but I love UCF, and I hate that the transition this is causing for those student athletes down there. That's the hard part of college athletics. After going through extensive candidates, we left no stone unturned. I'd like to thank the candidates. You'd be amazed if I could ever tell you, and I won't, how many candidates we spoke with, and there were no leaks until last night. Only two leaks I've been a part of in my career as an AD, and both of them happened in the last week. So we need to work on that here. We got to figure that one out. That'll be one of my top priorities as we go through here. But I really wanted the student athletes to find out first from me, and certainly I would want that for any group of student athletes. But obviously the student athletes at UCF, that it's a shame that it leaked. But we'll continue to work on that, tighten some things up. But we left no stone unturned. We talked to head coaches. We talked to coordinators. We talked to long-seasoned coaches. Talked to young up-and-coming coaches. Character and integrity were extremely important from the jump. Told you guys that last week, and will continue to be. I have zero questions about that with this guy. We want to build a program that we can all be proud of. And after vetting every single option we had, I obviously landed with a familiar face. In Josh Heupel, he was our number one option. This job was offered to one person. I know that there's a lot of rhetoric out there to the contrary, and that's just not true. We made one job offer. We got our number one candidate. I couldn't be more proud to have Josh as our new head football coach. Josh is in it for the right reasons. He's student-athlete centered. That was his message to the team. This morning we filmed a video, so he was able to talk to his team at UCF in person, and we showed a video that he did for our team here at Tennessee. He cares about the kids. I've seen that for 3 years. He cares deeply about their development as students, as people, as athletes. They need to know that. Future recruits need to know that. That's what we're going to be about here at Tennessee in all of our sports. From a fan perspective and a AD's perspective, it's a pretty fun brand of football. It's one of the most innovative minds in all of college football. I'll talk about some of the statistics that they've accomplished. I'm kind of in the they-we still transition in terms of UCF and what's happened on the offensive side of the ball. Also one of, if not the best, developer of young quarterbacks in college football. His reputation speaks for itself, and what he's been able to accomplish as an offensive coach and a developer of quarterbacks. We want to build the foundation of a program, as I mentioned last week, in all of our sports, but we're talking about football here today, and we want to compete for Southeastern Conference and for national championships. I told our student athletes I wouldn't share publicly much of what they shared with me about what was happening in our program for a lot of reasons. We had a great confidential conversation, but I think they'll be okay with me sharing with you that some characteristics they're looking for in a head coach. They talked about a little bit of confidence, a little bit of juice, and a little bit of swagger. And that's something that we have in spades, and they'll continue to have at UCF and their football program. And that's something that you'll see in Josh Heupel, the staff that he'll build here, and how we carry ourselves as a football program. Kids are excited. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I think you guys are going to like the brand of football you see. Just some highlights that you could probably read, but I'll just touch on a couple highlights. At UCF for the last 3 years, is the only team in the country to rank them up among the top five in total offense for every single year the last three seasons. It's the only team in the country to average at least 522 yards of total offense in each of the last three seasons. UCF and Alabama are the only two teams to rank among the top eight in the country in passing each of the last two seasons. Along with Alabama and USC, the only three teams in the country to average at least 316 passing yards in the last two seasons. They join Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma as the only four teams in the country to rank among the top eight in scoring in the last three seasons. And finally, they join Alabama and Clemson as the only teams in the country to average at least 42 points per game in each of the last three seasons. It's pretty good company to be included with from an offensive standpoint. Obviously, there's a lot more to the game than offense. Josh knows that. He's going to build a big-time staff. We're excited about supporting him from this day forward to have a top-notch staff across the board. And compete, and he can speak way better than I can about overall plans in terms of team success, not just offense. But I'm hearing a lot of feedback from our fans about they want offense. I don't know how we could deliver offense more than we just did. We're going to move the ball and score some points around here, and I couldn't be more excited about it. And I'll share with you, I got that same sentiment from the group of student athletes I met with. They were pretty jacked up after our meeting this morning. Most importantly, and we're about student-athlete success, as I talked about last week, the success of the UCF football team under Josh's leadership was accompanied with unparalleled success in the classroom. Last two semesters, the football program down there had two of the highest GPAs ever, over 3.0. 60% of the roster right now is carrying a GPA over 3.0 under Josh's leadership. As I mentioned, he does it the right way, encouraging kids to compete in the classroom, compete on the field, and we want to make them the best versions of themselves. And they have my commitment across all of our sports. We're going to continue to do that. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to the guy you guys want to hear from today and introduce your new head football coach, Josh Heupel. The 27th in the history of Tennessee football. They got the name on there, too.
What an awesome day for myself and our family. And so appreciative of the warm welcome that we've received. And just excited to be a part of the Vol Nation, Vol family. I want to thank Chancellor Pluman and President Boyd for your vision of what you want and foresee in athletics, the importance that it has. On a collegiate campus, and entrusting me and our family, but entrusting us to mentoring and teaching these young men the game of life, not just the game of football. To Danny, obviously those same sentiments, but having been around each other for 3 years, believing in the process that we take our kids through and understanding what we're trying to accomplish on the football field. We want to go chase championships. We want to be our absolute best. At the same time, we want to develop them in life too, and appreciate you guys entrusting us with the care of this program and these young men and individuals. When I was talking with Chancellor Plowman last night, one of the things that just registered with me and made this job opportunity so exciting is the aligned vision between leadership with everybody sitting here today. And we talked about the importance of having a shared common vision. Being able to work at our purpose to accomplish those things every single day, and everybody pulling the rope the same direction. And when you have that in leadership, that's going to transcend through in your entire campus and hopefully throughout our entire state here in Tennessee. And when you do those things, great things are capable of happening. And obviously, I'm here because we have the opportunity to go chase championships on the football field. I also want to take this time to thank my wife, Dawn, my co-pilot in life. She's probably piloting most of the time when I'm at the office. My beautiful daughter, Hannah, and my son, Jace. They They woke up to a changed world today. They were excited. There were a few tears maybe at the beginning of the day, but excited once they saw the orange tee on the plane. They were ready to jump on top and or jump in and get here. Jace is excited. I was texting with Peyton Manning earlier, and he's waiting on counting down the days until he's able to catch a ball from him out on the game field. That was his first ask as we got on the plane. So I want to thank the players and the staff at UCF. Last 3 years have been a tremendous journey, a tremendous ride. I appreciate them allowing me as their coach to be a part of their individual journey and accomplish so many great things. So proud of who and what we were as a program. So excited to see their success this year. Just great leadership inside the locker room. And when you have great leadership from within, all things are possible. And appreciate each and every one of them. One of the things that also registered with me is I was talking with the leadership here. Last night on a Zoom call was Danny's conversation with the leadership council and the football team, and the things that they are focused on accomplishing. That's why they came here to one of the biggest and best brands in college football. But the things that they feel like they want to make sure that the locker room that they have inside of the locker room. And at the end of the day, it came down to connection. And that's one of the things that's extremely important to me. It's been really hard during this past year with COVID, but you play this game. It's a tough, physical, demanding game. You play it because of connection. And there's got to be a sense of belonging, a sense of brotherhood that has to reside inside of that locker room. And to do that, you got to spend time with each other. And you have to do things outside of the game. And that's one of the things that we try to pride ourselves on inside of our program here at Tennessee as we move forward. Is that sense of connection, and that allows you to go chase greatness outside of the game. When you are connected, you have a chance for love. When you have love, you're able to sacrifice for your teammates, and this game is all about sacrifice. And accountability is something that we talked about as well, and making sure that we're being accountable to each other, the program, the process, and the people that reside inside of it. On the offensive side of the football, Danny mentioned some of the successes that we have had as a program at UCF and throughout my tenure. We're going to play with tempo here. We're going to be the aggressor. We're going to play with our skilled players out in space. We're going to give them an opportunity to push the football down the field. At the same time, if you really watch what we do, we're extremely balanced in our approach as far as running pass. We want to be physical. We want to dominate the line of scrimmage. Those are all things that are going to translate to what we're doing here in Knoxville. At the same time, that aggressive mentality that we have on the offensive side of the football is going to carry over to what we're doing on the defensive side of the football as well. We'll be multiple in all fronts, three-man, four-man fronts. We're going to bring pressure. We want to create negative plays. I think in the game of college football, offensively it's about creating big plays. Defensively it's about creating negative plays and getting people off schedule. You put those two things together, you got a chance to have a really successful game plan and ultimately a season. And excited about embarking down that road as we get together as a football program here after this. I think one of the things that's extremely important to the lifeblood of any program, but to the lifeblood here at Tennessee, is recruiting. And that's one of the great things here is that you have a national name, national logo that allows you to go coast to coast and go attract the biggest, the best, and the brightest. At the same time, the most important thing that we do is lock down our borders. We have to keep kids inside of this state here. And that's for multiple reasons. They're going to come play championship caliber football. They're going to be developed. They're going to have an opportunity to move on to the NFL. They're going to get a great degree. And they're going to be empowered to live inside of the state once they are done with that degree. But we have to do that inside of our own borders. And that's going to come for me, a focus on recruiting in-state for me. It's got to transcend through our assistant coaching staff. But it's also got to reside in every Vol fan here inside the state of Tennessee. And I say that meaning that everybody's got to bring energy and passion, create and sustain a positive movement through everything that we're doing to create the sustainable change that we need to lock down the borders here with our recruits. Excited about what we're embarking on. Excited to be a part of Ball Nation. Excited to do my very best for the state of Tennessee every single day. I promise you that our staff will do the exact same thing. And I promise you that we're going to embark on going to become what we're capable of as a football program day by day and go chase championships and win those championships.